you my mom, who whose name isn't Eunice, but
Right.
to me. And I thank God once again for being able to be here to share what God has placed upon my heart. There is as praise reports were going forth and testimonies, God is still speaking to me regarding what I believe that He wants me to share with you all today. And as always, I solicit your prayers that I not get in the way of God's word, that His Holy Spirit would speak clearly, the ABCs, accuracy, balance, and clarity, that whatever God wants to communicate is communicated directly into our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Amen.
Amen.
I'm truly grateful to be able to complete this. I say complete, but as I was preparing it, and Uncle Will, he asked me, he says, do you want to preach several? He said, maybe two. I think he said minimum, right? He said two or more
Yep.
times in May. And I'm thinking, busy. I got all this stuff going on with work. And, I said, listen, let's try and see how two sermons go. I've never preached a series. So this is my, since age 17, this is my first time actually preaching a series when it comes to the Word of God. So I'm excited to conclude this with the part two. So last week, we learned, I hope, who we are. Who we truly are in God, in Christ. And today we're going to talk about why we are who we are in Christ. So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for the songs of praise. We thank you, God, for everyone who is here, who is present there in Euclid, Ohio, for those who are present online via Zoom. And for everyone who might even listen to this recording in the future, God, we thank you that you love us so much, that you continue to work on us to help us to be better, to be more Christ-like on a daily basis for the purpose of glorifying you. So we thank you. We ask, oh God, that you would just speak clearly, that the word comes through so unfiltered, just straight to the hearts and minds and souls of those who are hearing it today. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this series, Mistaken Identity, and I'm going to ask a question. Now we're going to start off this way. So if I can get just maybe, can we cut it off at three people? No more than three people. If you could share maybe one thing that you learned about who you are from last week's sermon. If we could pass the mic, or if you're online, if we can just get three people to share briefly something that they learned about who they truly are.
I'm a superset, a royalty, higher above, more than.
Amen. Amen. Super royalty and more than. Love it. Love it. Who else?
That we are the salt of the earth, and it brings out the best of something.
Yes, salt of the earth. And we're going to touch on salt today in more detail. And then someone else.
How about the Lord will make you the head and not the tail?
The head and not the tail, absolutely. And we learned that that it wasn't about a position of leadership from, the societal standpoint as being the boss or anything like that, but it was more about operating in the authority and the power of God. Amen. So we are powerful. We are super, that as my aunt said, super above and more than, and the salt of the earth. So today I'm going to give you all the scriptures in advance because my Uncle Marcus said that I shared them a little bit too fast last week. So what I'm going to, because I got a little bit too excited, and he says, you know what, nephew, I love you, but slow down when it comes to sharing the scriptures. So this is me as your humble servant, listening to, my lovely elder. and being obedient. Okay, so I'm going to give you all give you all of these scriptures up front. So go ahead and write these down for me. We're going to go Matthew 5. Let me see here. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. We're going to look at Colossians 4 and 6. We're going to make a reference to Matthew 7, 1 through 5. We're going to possibly look at Luke 24. First Peter 2 and 9. Ephesians 2 and 10. And then we will end with Acts 10:38. And all of this is subject to the Holy Spirit's, whatever God wants to do. But that's what I have written down, and we're going to go with it.
Amen. Thank you.
My pleasure. So why we are? We learned who we are, but why are we here? What is the purpose? And so if we're looking at society today, the world system, right? It tells us amass a certain level of wealth. Right. We've all heard the white picket fence with, 2.5 kids and a dog, stable job, work 40 years for a company or plus, and then retire. And then we finally get the freedom to live our lives and do what we want to do on our terms. And so the world system is exactly that. It's following. That's why we are here. But there has to be more. There has to be a deeper reason as to our existence, especially given that we've just learned that we are our royalty. Last week, we've learned and we set the foundation of who we truly are, how powerful we truly are, and what we are to do. So this is today I want to get into our purpose, amen, our purpose here and our calling, essentially. So we're going to look at three things, and this, I don't plan on being long before you, but we're going to look at salt, light, and doing good. So we're going to look at these three things. We are here to salt, to light, and to do good. And I hope that I can convey this as simply as possible, these three purposes of our calling. All right. So we learned in Matthew 5:13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. And I'm reading from the King James. And in researching salt, I learned that it has multiple purposes. It's not just to throw on your steak or throw on your eggs or, season your food and bring out this flavor. But in ancient times, it was used for preservation. We mentioned that briefly last week because they didn't have refrigeration. So they would pack meats specifically in salt to help prevent these meats from decaying at a rapid pace, right? So remember that, preservation from decay. The other thing that salt does, it enhances the flavor. So what does that mean? It brings out the best in something. Salt enhances. So it preserves from decay, it enhances, brings out the best. And the third thing that I didn't know before studying is that it was often used as a fertilizer, especially sea salt. It would help with growth of certain plants and certain crops. Not every crop could benefit, but it was used to help with the growth of the crops. The other thing that I found interesting is that the word that we get salary, if you take that back, when you look at etymology, etymology is essentially studying the root definition and how we get certain words. So if you take salary down to its base prefix, essentially, S-A-L. S-A-L is the same meaning in Latin and in Spanish, and that means salt. S-A-L is salt. So salt was so valuable that Roman soldiers, at times, instead of being paid money, they were actually paid with salt. So that goes to show you how valuable of a commodity this is. So the Lord is speaking to a people who understands that this is a very valuable mineral. I've even seen some people saying, well, it was on par with gold. And it wasn't necessarily that valuable, but it was close in terms of its function in that society at the time. So the Lord was conveying, listen, from a natural standpoint, this mineral, you are this, you are the salt of the earth. It's already communicated with us who we are. And he's going to say more about why we are by giving us this metaphor so that those that he was talking to understood all the different uses and the value of salt. So I thought Colossians 4 and 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned. There's that instruction, seasoned with what? With salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So your speech, your communication, it needs to be seasoned with salt. So we see more of this enhancement and preservation and fertilizer. So we are the salt of the earth, and why we are salt. The salt we are to preserve, to help preserve from decay, to enhance, to bring out the best in something, in someone, to bring out the best in others, fertilizer to help with growth. Okay, that's point number one. Point number one, why we are and why he mentioned we are salt. Point number two is Matthew 14, says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And it says in 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. In 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And as I'm reading this, there's a couple points that really stood out to me. One, he talks about the light of the world. And we covered this last week and understanding that that goes back to Genesis and creation. And so this powerful light, he's equating our presence with the same importance of the light of creation. And he says, you are the light of the world. But then what's interesting is that he switches gears. And instead of talking about light, he now, the next phrase, and I never saw this before, he talks about a city. You're the light of the world. Then he's, and he just, it just, in terms of storytelling, and we're talking the master storyteller here, right? You always have to look and see exactly what the Lord is saying. And there's always a reason for that. He switches gears from the, you are the light of the world, a city. These are two very different nouns, the light, and then now you're a city. And then the next one, he goes right back to talking about light, but he talks about light from a fire standpoint, a candle, right? Of putting under a bushel on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. And so I'm like, what does this mean? So I'm going to get to that. But the first thing that hit me when I'm reading this is that we aren't meant to be these covert operation Christians. We aren't meant to be lurking in the shadows, afraid or ashamed to show who we truly are. So that's what I got initially from this city. That was the initial sort of revelation there. But then this switch from light to city, it hit me a little bit later. And it's like, God isn't talking about being visible from a point of light. When he goes to city, now he's talking about being visible from a point of position. And we've already talked about what we are, the head and not the tail. This is a positional statement. So he says, yes, in terms of being the light of the world, but you're a city that is set on a hill. I positioned you. Well, what did you position us for? Why are we positioned? Well, here's the answer. We are positioned because if you have a city that's on a hill, if you're walking along, the only way to really see that city is to look up. The only way to see that city on the hill, it forces you from a standpoint of visibility, is that now I'm looking upward. I'm looking to, I'm directionally, he's placed us in a position to cause others to begin to look upward. And we know that the heaven is what? His throne, and the earth is his footstool. So he's saying that I have positioned you in your life to cause people to look into the direction of me. That's why, from a visible standpoint, I've said you are the light of the world, but from a positional standpoint and directional standpoint, I have set you above, here we go again, above only and not beneath. I've set you at a position that they have to look up. It takes me back to what I preached about, I think last year, when was it this year? When I remember Brother Chip held up his arms and we were talking about the battle where he says, you know, his arms are getting tired, and he had to keep his arms upraised. And if his arms were upraised when the people of Israel were fighting in this battle and they looked and they could see the banner and his arms were upraised and they prevailed. But when his arms, he got tired and he dropped his arms, then they started to lose the battle. But he said, you know, help me. So they propped his arms up and they looked up. Oh, you know, we're going to win this, because it signifies that God is with us, that's on our side. So it's all about the position. If I could look up and I could see into the proper direction that leads me to God, then that is my comfort. That is where I should be looking. So God has placed us, our lives are like the North Star, a directional compass leading people closer to the Lord. Closer. When they look at us, he said, I've already placed you there. That is not up for debate. You are my child. So regardless of how you act, I've already set you on this hill. So it's imperative then for you to walk as children of light, to live your life in accordance with my principles and in accordance with what I'm saying, because I've already set you there. You are positioned there. So as you are there, what does he say in that scripture? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. I found this very interesting, that light, and I feel like light itself, there's so much, it deserves its own sermon, its own workshop, to understand that there's visible light and it's electromagnetic radiation. And at a certain frequency, you get into ultraviolet light that we can't see. And then at another frequency on the opposite end, you get into infrared, which we also are not adept at seeing, but there are certain species and animals who can see and detect the infrared, and there are certain species and animals who can detect the UV, but we are given this narrow window when it comes to frequencies for visible light to be able to see specifically what is being reflected. And that's the only way we can really see what is around us by the presence of light. So what does that mean? Light then reveals. Light reveals. But what I also find interesting is that in the scripture, we do see the task of, we don't see the task or responsibility of condemning others through shining the light on their darkness. Because that, it's all about the approach. Going back to the scripture in Colossians, let your speech, your communication, your conduct, the way you deal with people, always be seats with grace and seasoned with what? With salt, with preservation, enhancement, and fertilization. So if I am doing this in my interactions with people, I'm not condemning the darkness. I'm just shining my light. See, the light doesn't have to concern itself with the darkness present, but because whenever light shows up, darkness automatically goes away. I don't have to say, let me, as the light, try to push through this darkness, but the darkness, as it responds to our presence as being that light of the world, that powerful light that we see involved in the creation story. So instead, the Lord says, he says, they will see in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, he says, they will see your good works. They will vision, they will see it. All you have to do, your responsibility is to do those good works, is to show up as the people of God. And then anyone who might be in darkness would be able to see the difference. They'll be able to see the reflection of what you are revealing through the power of your life. Even when it gets down to verse 5 of Matthew 7, where it talks about casting out the mote out of your brother's eye, we have to understand the difference between judging, condemning, and truly helping. It's not that I am coming to you holier than thou, because I also used to be in a state of darkness, but I was called, I was brought out of that darkness, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and 9, into his marvelous light. I was brought out, so when I come to you shining his marvelous light, I'm not shining my own light because of myself. I am not producing or generating anything that is light. The Bible says our righteousness of our own selves is as a filthy rags, but through Christ, we are made, we are called righteous. We are holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. Be ye perfect. We are made new. We are transformed. So I'm not creating any of this light. I always tell people, any good you see in me is not me, but it is the Christ in me. It is God in me. So the good you see is the God you see. The good you see is the God you see in me. So I was looking more into light, and not coming from a state of condemning. And we look at the people that used to, we quote unquote, hang with Jesus, right? He was seen with sinners, and he was being, the religious leaders of the time said, you know, you're sitting with publicans and sinners and the cast off of society. And these are religious people. These are the religious people talking to the Lord and saying, why are these people around you? You should be hanging around us. You should just be hanging with us. Why are you spending time with them? Well, the reason why wasn't that the Lord was necessarily seeking them out, but it was because of the way his approach, this thought. He's like, I'm going to show you in real time. I'm showing you practically what it means to have that speech in a preservation, enhancement, and fertilization way. I'm showing you that when you present yourself in this way, you will draw people who are in the darkness to you because they are going to desire what you have. And I thought about, because it goes back to light. Light is warm. Light is so warm. It can get hot. It creates heat. And so I'm gonna go over to this scripture too, because this actually just came to me when you're singing, is that in Luke 24, we know the story of the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. And this is after the Lord had been resurrected, amen, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And he just opened the scripture to these men, and they didn't recognize that it was the Lord physically. They didn't recognize that, you know, from an aesthetic standpoint, that this was the same Jesus that they had been spending time with before the death, burial, and resurrection. They didn't understand that this was the same one. But as he opened the scriptures and he continued, they talked amongst themselves, and they said, did not our hearts burn? Did not our hearts burn? We see this burning, this warmth, this energy, because light also does what? It provides energy. It's a very important, the most important part of the photosynthesis process, with plants being able to sustain life. So light, plants would die without light, and we would die without light. And so going back to what the salt does, we preserve from death, we preserve from decay. So our lives need to preserve from decay and death. But I was recently in Guatemala, which is why I'm wearing this shirt. I was recently in Guatemala, and I hiked a volcano there called Acatenango. And across from Acatenango, you could see one of the active volcanoes in Central and South America named Fuego, which incidentally means fire. Coincidence? Well, not coincidentally, but it means fire, Fuego. And at night, at the top of this, we're at base camp and we're looking over, and we saw a beautiful eruption, beautiful eruption. You could see the lava coming out the volcano, and it was just this amazing time. Now, at the same time, I'm at base camp and I'm sitting around a fire because it was freezing, absolutely freezing, you know? And it was funny because I was talking and, you know, practicing my Spanish, and, you know, everybody that's sitting around the fire with me, they spoke Spanish. And I said, fuego aquí, you know, y fuego allá, you know, which means fire here and fire there, you know, in Spanish. And I thought about the warmth created in that moment from this fire, because you wanted to be close to the fire, because outside, and as you moved away from the fire, what did you get into? Darkness, and it was cold. And the further you got away from the fire, the colder it got, and the darker it got, to where you couldn't see, and it became a little bit more dangerous. And so we were all gathered around the fire as close as we could be to stay warm. And so I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about the Lord saying this and light. And, you know, we should be that presence, that warm presence that people want to be around. That's why the sinners and the publicans hung out with the Lord. They wanted to be in this warm, loving presence, not a condemning one. He wasn't pointing out. I don't believe the Lord was saying, well, you're a hypocrite and you're a sinner and you're an adulterer and you're a tax collector and you're a thief. Because why on earth would they gravitate to him if he was pointing out all that was wrong with them? There's no way they would have stuck around. They were getting that from the religious community already. So there's no way they would have gravitated toward the Lord. But instead, the Lord, as that salt and light, he reminded them. He said, no, no, no. This is not who you truly are. I'm going to reveal to you who you can be. I'm going to reveal the truth of the transformation that is awaiting you. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to preserve you from decaying. I'm going to provide you with that warmth. I'm going to provide you visually with the clarity so that you can look upward without anything in the way and see from whence your help truly comes from. So that's why these people were gravitating toward the Lord, not because they wanted him to beat them up, because they wanted him to build them up. And he did that so perfectly. So our lives. Our lives have to echo that. My life, your life, as we're living in this cold, cruel, dark world, may we be that fire. May we be that warmth. May we be who people gravitate to. Warmth, heat, energy, clarity, security. Fire at night, it helps to keep animals, certain animals away. There's just so much there. We were called in 1 Peter 2:9, we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And here's my third and final point today. And I hope this is speaking to your soul. I hope that you're getting something from this. I got so excited studying this, and that's probably why I ran through the scripture so fast the first time, because I just wanted to get it out, because it's, but I want to share the goodness, the good news. That's why it's called the gospel. It's the good news that you just want to run. You know, what was the old song that we used to sing? Go tell it on the mountain, just over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is coming. And it's just like, this is that good news. And we just have to run and tell it. It's like the prophet Jeremiah, who says that, you know, I'm done preaching because the stiff-necked people, the stubborn people would not listen. I'm preaching for all these years and nobody's coming to you. No one's changing their life. And he said, I quit. And I could just see the Lord probably sitting back laughing, like, you think you're going to quit. You think you're going to resign, but you fail to understand the power that is working through you isn't your own, Jeremiah. The light that shines through you is not your own light. The power, the dunamis, the authority isn't yours, because so you could not really contain with your unofficial resignation from your post, from your duty. Go ahead and try. It's almost like the Lord said, I wish you would. I want to see you try to resign from your post, that your ministry that I have given you. And he said, but Jeremiah said, I tried to give my 2 weeks notice. I tried to resign. I tried to say, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm walking away from my calling. I'm walking away from this ministry. But he said, I just could not stop, because the power, the dunamis, the dunamis inside, the creative light, the fire. He said it was like, what did he say? Fuego. If he was Spanish, he would have said it was fuego in my bones, but it was fire. Shut up. Just like that volcano was erupting all night long. It was fire and it had to come out. There was no place. I could not shut it up. I couldn't contain it within my mortal body. There's so much to share. And he said, I had to continue to give what I've been given to share, that good news. Amen.
Amen.
So So this third point, Ephesians 2:10, we are to do good. We are to do good. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. One of my favorite scriptures, and I pray that, you know, down the road, whenever, you know, the Lord calls me home, maybe at age 120, you know, whatever that might be. whenever that might be, okay? I'm willing. And so whatever that number, but I would hope that, you know, on that headstone, that Acts 10:38 is there. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And this right here, this little part coming up, this is why it's my favorite. This part, who went about doing good. Right there. Right there. What was his ministry? What was the legacy? He went around doing good. To have such a reputation that people say, hey, you know, I remember, you know, that person. I remember Brother Rod. I remember, you know, Brother Marcus. I remember Sister Lisa. I remember this person, you know, my Aunt Teresa. I remember. And you know what I remember about them? Everywhere they went, they were just doing good. They were just doing good. The legacy wasn't what they accomplished from a financial standpoint, because people forget that. When you go on, people, when you pass to the next life, people don't remember how much money was in your account. They don't remember how many yachts you had. They don't remember how many houses or properties you had. They don't remember any of that, because none of that really matters. But what they remember is how you made them feel. They remember you had that warm presence. And I just love talking with this person. And I remember that they just, everywhere they went around, they just did good. And it doesn't have to be big things, but it's helping somebody drops something. Oh, let me pick that up for you. That's a small example of doing good. Let me help you with this task. Oh, you know, do you need help here? Let me be of assistance. I just want to be that person. I want to have that reputation, that legacy. Not to be known from a standpoint of society as having amassed or accumulated a certain level of prestige. But if I can be, if my reputation can echo a fraction of the reputation of Christ, then I'm truly fulfilled. I'm truly fulfilled. We are to be sought, to preserve, to enhance, to fertilize. We are to light, to provide warmth, direction, clarity, and energy. And we are to do good, following in the steps of our Lord, so that ultimately God receives all the glory from our life. God bless you.